You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
Well, good morning, Harvest. I like. My name is Jeff Donaldson. I'm actually on staff at Harvest Bible Chapel in Elgin, and it's kind of fun to be here because it feels exactly the same as the Harvest I come from, and I like that a lot. And I hope that you get a chance to wake up this morning. So I'm 2 hour deficit, all right? You're only one. So I'm going to try to find it. You try to find it. And I'm really honored to be here. It's really awesome to hear what God's doing in Granger. And we get great reports. And I just can't believe that y'all only been doing this for about 4 years. And to see what the Lord's doing, it's what the Lord is doing. It's what the Lord is doing. And sometimes we like to take credit for stuff that isn't ours. And I think that you have a great, faithful pastor and Pastor Trent and trying to stay true to God's word and biblical commands. And you got such a great team here and Micah and Pastor Matt and so many great people. And I think y'all had the Jeremiah Canfield here for a while too, didn't you? And I know y'all launched him out and it's about multiplying, right? We can't just take what we got. We're going to give it away. And so I'm really honored to be here. I have 5 children, and my oldest is a sophomore in high school. My youngest is 4, so we stay busy. And I brought my second, Joel, with me today, and he's already trying my temptation. I haven't had sugar since just after Christmas. And of course, when we pulled into the hotel last night, he sees that there is a Krispy Kreme across the street. So he slammed 3 flaming hot donuts this morning, and I drank my coffee. Working on the discipline thing. All right, listen, I love that we just sang about Jesus because that's the only reason we're here today. And if he's not here with us, then we're doing nothing. And I believe he's here. You know, I love that we opened our service today singing, "We welcome you here. We welcome you here." And I pray that Jesus is going to minister to us today. I pray that we make much of Jesus. I want you to open to Matthew chapter 28. And I want to talk about what it is that we're here. What is it that we're about? What are we doing? Why is all of this happening? What is the church about? What are we supposed to be doing here in Granger? And it's awesome to see it, but we got to stay on mission. And so I want to bring us right back to start today. What is the mission of the church? What is your individual, your personal mission? What is your mission as a community? What are we supposed to be doing here in Granger? What is it that the Lord has called us to? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. I hope you have this. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That is the mission of the church, to glorify God through the fulfillment of, this is called up here on the header, you might have yours there, the Great Commission. It's the last thing that Jesus left us to do. Jesus, what do you want us to do? I want you to glorify me by going and making disciples. All right, well, what's a disciple? We got to get that part. That's what I'm here to talk about today. I want to talk about discipleship. What is discipleship? How do we make disciples? What's the point? What am I? What am I supposed to be doing? If you're here today and you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've come to the point in your life where you recognize that you're a sinner in need of forgiveness and you humbled yourself before the cross of Jesus Christ and confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead, you're saved. And so I'm talking to you. All right, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are growing in our walk with Christ. So I want you to look over, and we're going to just stay right here in this text the rest of the time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to stay there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And this, I hope you walk out of here today getting these two verses, that you would commit to memorizing them, that you would commit to putting them into your heart, because I don't know if you guys have this at your Harvest. Do you have what a disciple is at your Harvest? You guys have this, the three W's, the worship, walk, work. Do you guys have that? Do you for real, you have that? All right, so a disciple of Christ is somebody who worships Christ and who walks with Christ and who works for Christ. And if I'm worshiping Christ, I get to church every weekend and I get that fuel that kind of gets me, that furnace, you know? When Pastor Trent is up here, I don't know, is he one of them sweaty preachers? Pastor Trent, is he like pounding it and sweaty and I don't know. Here's what he's trying to do. I'm putting a big log in your furnace that will help you this week as you grow in your walk with Christ. But if you think that's all you need, that's why you feel empty when you wake up on Tuesday morning. If that's the only thing that you're putting in the furnace of your life is the message you heard this weekend. It is not enough to just come here and worship Christ. That's awesome. It was awesome this morning, wasn't it? It was awesome this morning. But I need to continue in that. That's why we say we walk with Christ. We're walking with Christ, we get into a small group. I saw it right there on the bottom of the bulletin. Get into a small group. All right? Because I got to walk with Christ in community with other people. And I work for Christ. I roll up my sleeves and I shoulder weekly kingdom responsibility. Maybe I serve in children's ministry or on the worship team or as an usher or a greeter or wherever the Lord might call me to do it. That is a disciple. And as a disciple, where do we get all this stuff? Right here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, this is Paul talking to Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I love that. The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It is not about, you have to understand this, pastors are not actually called to do the work of the ministry. Did you know that? We're called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. At Harvest Granger, this is a growing church. There's a lot of people who come here. And if you think that the four pastors that you have are going to do it all, this thing is going to die on the vine. This is us as a community rolling up our sleeves and saying that we're going to get after it together. So I want to talk to you about what discipleship is, the essence of discipleship. All right? It's very easy. We sometimes make discipleship complicated. And what is it about? And I got to get on a program and I got to memorize these verses. That is not what discipleship is. This is discipleship. Here's the first part of discipleship. You have to get the gospel. You have to get the gospel. How many of you can remember the day that you honestly, truly, for the first time you met Jesus? How many of you remember the day? I mean, you were gripped with the truth that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he came and sacrificed his life. He paid my debt. He paid the debt I could not pay. And I gave my life to him. Do you remember what it was like that day? Do you remember? For some of us, it was a long time ago. Do you remember what it was like? I mean, I'm one of those pastor's kids. You've heard a lot of things about us. Mostly true. I'm a pastor's kid. I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and my dad pastored the only church in town, one little country church in town. And I grew up, and it's not cool to grow up as the only. No, I mean, well, there wasn't any other pastor's kids because there wasn't any other church, you know. And so I grew up understanding all of this, assenting to understanding the Bible. Because my dad would preach at church, and we would go every time it was open, twice on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Tuesday night if we were doing something special, and Friday night if something else was going on, and youth group on Wednesday night, we were there. And I understood, conceptually, I understood what this was. But I never yielded my life to the truth of the gospel. I didn't get the gospel. I had a head knowledge about the gospel, but I did not know the gospel. Because I didn't want to yield my life to anything else. I wanted to be in control of my life. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I was in charge. I was in control. I wasn't going to yield control of my life. And my heart began to become hardened to the Lord and the things he was trying to tell me. And I remember the summer just before my senior year of high school when my parents forced me to go to Bible camp. And see, I didn't want to go. I did not flat out want to go. I'm 17 years old. I don't want. But my parents, God bless them, they're actually parents, you know. And they knew I wasn't the parent. They're the parents, so they made me go. So God bless you. I guess your high school students are on a retreat right now. So if you're one of those parents, you're like, my kid didn't want to go, but I made him. I'm proud of you. All right? Way to go. Who knows what the Lord's going to do, right? Who knows what the Lord's going to do in their life this weekend? We're expecting great things. I love to hear that some of the kids even gave their life to Christ already. Praise God. That's awesome. And it was there, and after, long story, 5 weeks of me being hard-hearted to the preaching and teaching, it was on a Thursday night after a little bonfire we had, and I was on the sand volleyball court, and it was at that very moment that the Lord pressed himself upon me, and I understood at that point in time who Jesus Christ was, and I got on my knees, and I yielded my life to him, and I'm telling you, right there on that sand volleyball court, I'm sure it's all still there, you know, all that shame. All the things that he forgave me, the load of guilt that I was carrying, the sin that had had me so trapped in my thinking and in my mind and the heart of my heart, I left it all there. And I yielded my life to him, and I remember telling him, God, I believe that you're true. For the first time in my life, I really understand it. I believe in you. I confess myself to you. I give my life to you. Whatever you would want from me, I give my heart to you right now, God. Forgive me of my sins. And he did. And it was the most incredible experience of my life, the day I met Christ. Do you remember the day for you that you met Christ? Maybe some of you here this morning, and that isn't, yeah, I don't, I'm still where you were, Jeff. I'm still up in the, I intellectually assent to some of this stuff, but I'm not ready to acknowledge that somebody else is going to lead my life. It's all right. It's all right. You keep processing all that. You keep thinking about that, all that, all right? I believe the Lord's going to reveal himself to you. And it's interesting, when you come to Christ, that's really honestly when you assent to that, when you yield yourself to him, that's when you get the gospel, right? And when Christ changes you, there's a couple big words we have to get, theological terms that you read in your Bible and you think, what? I don't know what that means. The first thing is that I become justified. When I come to my relationship with Jesus Christ, when I yield myself to him, the moment I confess him as Lord, he changes me. And someday I'm going to stand before the Father, and he's going to ask me why I should enter his presence for eternity. And I'm going to say, it's because Jesus Christ is in me. It ain't anything I've done. My righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. It's Jesus Christ in me. Do you know when you gave your life to Christ, your whole DNA changed? You have Jesus' DNA in you now. It's Christ in me. My DNA, I'm justified. No one can take that away from me. No one. The enemy is pursuing hot on us sometimes. He cannot take it away from me. I was justified in Christ. It's Christ's righteousness in me. His imputed righteousness. It makes me different. I'm changed. I'm justified. There's also a process that happened when I come to Christ. It's called regeneration. Behold, the old is gone. The new has come. Anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's making me new. I love that. Because guess what? The reason I came to Christ is because I was sick and tired of the old way. Because what I was doing wasn't working for me. I didn't have what it takes in myself. I finally came to the end of myself. That's when we come to Christ, is when we come to the end of ourselves. Honestly, what the Lord has allowed me to do in my life is insane. I've probably had the opportunity to baptize probably some 600 or 700 people at Harvest over the last several years. And even last weekend, we baptized 63 people in our service, over all three services. And it's just, I get tears in my eyes every time to hear the story, because what people are saying is, I came to the end of myself and Jesus met me there and he changed my life. And I often ask people, how's your life been different since then? You know, some people are like, I've said, when did you come to Christ? This last time we did it, you know, about 7 or 8 people. Last week, how's your life been different in 1 week? Peace. comfort, assurance, hope, purpose. It changes my life. I didn't have that before. See, I didn't have any hope before because my hope was in myself and I realized I'm nothing. There's a whole lot of stupid resides in here. That's why I got to the end of myself. This ain't working. Now he's regenerating me and making me new. And then here's the third thing that happens when I come to Christ. I begin a process called sanctification. Sanctification is becoming Christ-like, becoming holy, becoming like him. Now, justification is a one-time experience. Boom, you're justified. There's no process of justification. If you're in Christ, his imputed righteousness, boom, you're justified. I'm regenerated. The problem with regeneration is I keep going back to the old man, some of us. And in sanctification, it's a process. When I came to Christ, my sanctification was at a zero. I wasn't living for Christ. I didn't have nothing. But by God's grace, if I was at zero and 100 is perfection, I might be somewhere around 35. By God's grace, growing in Christ's likeness. And that's our job. As I get the gospel, that's what happens to me. Do you understand that? Now, we think that the gospel is just the salvation message. The gospel is not the salvation message. That's just part of the gospel. The gospel really means good news. And everything about Jesus is good news. Do y'all respond at church? I don't know. I was just saying, what I was saying was that everything about Jesus is good news. All right. You're waking up now. I should have brought you guys some Krispy Kremes. The gospel is good news. It's everything about Jesus. It's his fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It's his birth. It's his deity. It's his humanity. It's his death. It's his resurrection. It's his teachings. It's the coming judgment. It's everything. And when you came and gave your life to Christ, you got the gospel in you. I love it. Now, my pastor, if you ever heard my pastor, James McDonald, if you ever hear my pastor preach, he'll give this illustration of how do I know that I got it? How do I know that I got it? And he'll pick on some poor married guy, make him stand up and say, do you know that you're married? I mean, do you remember the day? Are you sure about it? Are you sure? Are you sure? Well, of course I'm sure. I remember the date. Some poor guy doesn't remember the date and then he's in trouble for the rest of the day, you know? But he's got a ring on his finger and he remembers, I got married December 31st, 1994. I've been married for 18 years. God bless my wife. Talk about sanctification. I am a massive part of sanctification in her life. And so we were married. How you know that you're married is how you know you're in Christ. If you're not sure, then you're not saved. You got to be sure about this thing. It isn't, I don't know if it happened. I made the decision for it to happen. I made the decision to get married. I stood before the pastor and said, I do, and put a ring on my wife's finger. I'm in. It was a decision. And when I get the gospel, I didn't stop. I wanted to be married. I knew I was not meant to be alone, all right? I knew that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with somebody. When I met my wife, Bethany, I was so blown away by her. I couldn't believe that there was a beautiful woman who loved the Lord. And I couldn't believe in any way, shape, or form that she was into me at all. But God is a God of miracles. And she was. And so I snatched her up before she knew what hit her. And but I remember I courted her and I would call her back. See, back in the day, man, when I was dating, we didn't have cell phones, man. I had to talk to her my roommate could hear because we had that cord, you know, on the phone. And there was no email. I had to write letters to her and you couldn't just send a digital copy of a picture. You had to go get it processed at the thing and put it in the mail and send it. And man, I pursued her big time, you know. Because I really wanted to be married to her. But guess what? When we got married, I didn't go, sweet, deal is done. That's the end of that. Marriage wasn't the end. Marriage was the beginning. And some of us are in Christ. You got the gospel and you think that's the end. I have Jesus. I'm good to go. That's the beginning of the relationship. Only a fool gets married and quits writing his wife letters and quits telling her that he loves her and quits studying her. I have an insatiable appetite to know my wife. Every time we still go out, I'm thinking about questions I want to ask her and how I want to get to know her. And we're opposite. It's very easy to get. You can ask me anything. You'll know me and by the time we leave here. All right. But she's Scandinavian. All right. So she's just takes her a little while, you know. I got to pull her out, but I really want to know her, and I want to know what she loves, and I want to know her hopes and dreams and desires. I want to know her. I'm trying to study her. After 18 years, I'm still studying her. What is it about you? And I hope that's how it is in your relationship with Christ. When you come to Christ, you came to Christ because you were so blown away with his awesomeness, with his love for you. Can you believe that he knows you and still loves you? I can't. I know me. I can't believe that he would die for this. So when I come to Christ, when I get the gospel, that's not the that's just the beginning, not the end. So when I get the gospel, I got to, number two, grow in the gospel. I got to grow in it. Now I have it. What am I going to do with it? I'm growing in it. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I love that he uses the word grace. Be strengthened by the grace. I think we've fooled ourselves into thinking that when I come to Christ, I repented of my sins and Christ forgave me and now I'm perfect. And I'm telling you, I'm falling on his grace all the time. I'm confessing to him often my own failures and sinfulness and shortcomings. I'm falling on his grace. I got to keep coming back to the foot of the cross. God, my pride's getting in the way. God, my self-sufficiency. I know how to do this. I got the answers. God, forgive me. I'm coming back to you. I want to grow in the gospel. I don't want to be the same place I was last year. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be the same. Everybody wants to grow, right? My kids, they want to grow. Some of y'all want your bank account to grow. Some of y'all want your hair to grow. So we love for things to grow. I want to grow in my knowledge of Jesus Christ and my understanding of Jesus Christ and my application of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would hope that I'm more loving and more gracious, more forbearing and patient than I was 3 weeks ago. I would hope that I'm more Christ-like now than I've ever been before. That's growing in the gospel. And some of us, we become stagnant. We become stagnant. We're not being strengthened by the grace that's in Christ. We're not taking what he's given to us and giving it away to other people. We're sitting on it. That is number one way, by not giving away what you got. That is the number one way to grow stagnant in your relationship with Christ Jesus. I should have brought a whiteboard. I'll try to draw this out. Imagine in your mind, this is the X and Y axis, right? I don't know which one is which, but one of them's, this is my growth in Christ. This is my years in Christ. Can you picture that on a line for me? All right. So when you come to Christ at zero, you're right here, right? You're nothing. You haven't grown. Hopefully it would look like this, right? This is what my life would look like. A constant growing. The longer I'm in Christ, the more I'm growing in Christ. That's what it would look like, right? However, that is not reality. Many people look like this, and then they kind of level off, and then they kind of go back down again. Hope that's not happening in your church. I got to be honest. There's a lot of people in my church, they're like that. And then there's a lot of people in church, they're like that. Those are the ones that, you know, as pastors, pray for us. We'd be strengthened and caring for people who just can't. Why is it that I get stagnant? Why is it that I get stagnant? Do you know why? Because you're not stepping out in faith and asking Christ to stretch you and your capacity to know him. It's because you don't begin to give away what you've got. Because you just keep it for yourself. You keep your own stuff. I know a lot of things. I'm growing in a lot of ways. I'm kind of a, you know, I have a lot, but you're not giving it away. You don't sit in small group and encourage other people. You don't sit with other people and help them understand the truth of who God is. You don't serve. I'm telling you, every time you get an opportunity, and listen, I'm telling you, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I grew up in a town of 300 people, a public school of K through 12, all in the same building. There was 21 kids in my class. No one came, no one left. That was it. honestly, in the middle of, there's nothing, nothing. Go to a church, man, my dad's church, about 200 people, and we thought that was a lot, and I couldn't believe it. And yeah, by Lord's grace, I went to Moody Bible Institute, and I said, Lord, my life is yours, but you know, I could never have pictured in my wildest dreams that he would ever let me do the things that he's allowed me to do. Every time I get asked to do more, there's a conscious decision for me to say, all right, that freaks me out. That just freaks me out. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I'm smart enough or strong enough or wise enough or mature enough. I just don't know. But I have found in my life that anytime the Lord asks me to step out on the limb for him, he's never cut off the branch. Not ever. Frankly, when I acknowledge my own weakness to him is where he meets me with his strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Every time. And every time I step out, he grows my capacity, and he grows my faith, and he grows my dependence. And the more I realize how much I need him. And as you grow in the gospel, I want you to know that this ain't going to be easy, all right? He didn't promise easy. He never promised easy. But he did say that he would grow us and strengthen us. Many of you in the room, you know this very well. James chapter 1, consider it or count it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance or perseverance, holding fast to the things that I know to be true about the Lord, that I might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, that the Lord would use those difficulties in my life to draw me to him and make me stronger as a disciple of Christ. I'm growing in it. No one's immune, by the way. No one's immune. The Lord's taught me some things. Years ago, I was sick for years and found out I had a brain tumor. And, you know, I'm on medication for the rest of my life. And I blind in one eye. And I'm just telling you that the Lord has met me through all of that. And my faith in him is stronger than it's ever been because of it. And every day when I have to reach up on the shelf and take all those stupid pills, you know, all that medication and go see hey, I'm weak, but he is strong. And he didn't promise that it would be easy, but he did promise me he'd never leave me or forsake me. He promised me that in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, that if I give it to him, that he would grant a peace that would guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's how he works. And I'm continually growing in him, you know. We think discipleship is sitting down and memorize these 30 verses and get on this program and do these things and you're a disciple. Those are great things, and I hope you do them. I hope you find the disciplines. But it's way beyond that. It's a continual yielding of my life to Christ. It's a continual acknowledgement that he is Lord and I am not. And that when I came to him, I got off the throne of my life and I willingly and gladly gave it to him. The word disciple in the Bible is the Greek word mathetes. Mathetes means a follower, somebody who follows a leader. Jesus is my rabbi. Jesus is my leader and I'm his follower. How are you doing at following Jesus? How are you doing every morning getting out of bed, hitting your knees, saying, God, I've got my eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of my faith. However it is that you long for me today, God, I'm yours. That's honestly what discipleship is. But I love the idea that it's beyond mathetes, that it's beyond the idea that I'm a mere follower, because see, he's welcomed us into a relationship with him. John 10, vine and the branches. That's one of my favorites because he ends the whole thing. These things I have spoken to you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. So, hey, side note, no more cranky Christians, all right? Hope people in Granger aren't like, oh, man, all those Christian people at Harvest, man, they look like somebody ate a lemon. And those people are joyful, not some kind of joy, not half joy, a fullness of joy that Jesus offered to them. That's what's compelling. This fullness of joy. And he says, these things I've spoken to you because I don't call you. You're not my servants. You're my friends. The master doesn't tell his servants what he's doing, but his friends, he welcomes them in and reveals it all to them. That Jesus would even mention the word that we could be friends. See, he's brought us into this relationship. I am following him, but he's not this harsh ruler. He's come on in. I want to show you what I'm doing. Let's do it together. I'm growing in the gospel. I went away for a little season to just think about this idea in my church because I think one of the greatest tools of the devil, our adversary who prowls about like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, is this: to convince you that you're not growing in the gospel. To convince you that Jesus Christ hasn't changed your life. You're no different. He doesn't want to remind you about the fact that you're regenerating. He wants to say that you're back at square one. You're not changing. At my house with my kids, you know, we got the doorpost. You do this at your house. The kids all line up about every 6 months and you get the ruler out. You do this. Just measure them all off, you know. My kids will be so excited. I grew this much. Ah, we're all sad. Everybody's growing. I want the people in our church to go, I can see that I'm growing in Christ. By God's grace, I'm not the person that I used to be. Because I've been stepping out and he's been meeting me and he's been teaching me. And as I yield myself to him, he's making me stronger. And even in the days where it's not easy, even in the days where I'm not happy, but I got joy. Even in the days where I'm not happy, but I have the joy because he's meeting me there. Even in my bad days, even in the days I didn't even think about him. Can we be honest as Christians? Sometimes we have a day like that, or two, or three. He's still pursuing me and growing me. And I want our people to be able to say this. So we actually came up with a thing in our small group to call them the, I forget what we call them right now, the personal, what do we call it, man? Spiritual growth points. Thank you, man. Dude, you are on it, dude. They should give you a raise. Spiritual growth points. I get to leave. Spiritual growth points. And so we actually had people think through this in their own life. And over a course of 3 months, they just pick a relationship they feel like the Lord's asking them to work on. I want to be a more godly husband or dad or coworker or whatever. And a character trait, you know, right, one of those fruits of the Spirit. For me, I got 5 kids, so it's patience, you know. I got to be more patient. And then we do a spiritual discipline. And it might be, you know, fasting. Or for me, right now, I'm working on scripture memorization. It's a good discipline for me to feast on God's word that way. And so over the course of 3 months, we'll just work on it. And in course of community, and we're honest with our shortcomings and failings. And man, I was working on being a godly husband this week, and I just completely blew it. I completely blew it. I wasn't thinking about it, and I raised my voice with my wife 3 times, and I did not love her the way Christ asked me to love her. And then we get a week, you know, where like I'm working on it. I can see how God's working, you know. And at the end of the 3 months, it's pretty cool to look back and go, "Snap! Look what the Lord's doing in my life. This isn't me. I don't have the ability to do this. This is Christ in me, and look how He's changing me. Look, I didn't think I could memorize scripture, and I learned 7 verses. I mean, that's pretty cool. I never had that before. I actually fasted 2 lunches and spent an awesome time with Jesus like I'd never had before. I mean, I can see that I'm growing in Christ. I hope that you can say, over the last 3 months, over the last 6 months, over the last year, I'm more like Jesus than I've ever been. I'm more gracious. I'm more kind. I'm more intentional. I'm more loving than I've ever been. It's Christ in me. So I get the gospel. I grow in the gospel. Now I just got to tell you this. There's a bit of a, because I want to get you to the last point. There's a bit of a false teaching in the church. I'm sure it doesn't happen at this church. And I think I grew up with this. That there is a distinction between a convert, a person who's in Christ, a Christian, and then a disciple, that they're two different things. That there's a Christian, and then at some point after you come to Christ, you make a decision to be a disciple. Well, now I'm actually going to follow Christ, and I'm going to work on my relationship with him, and maybe I'm going to get in a small group, or I'm going to find a disciple, or something that I made that decision. That is not in the Bible anywhere. There's no distinction between a Christian is a disciple. That's what you are. The moment you yielded your life to Christ and said, "You're the Lord, my master, I'm the follower," that was it. That is discipleship. The problem is, in the church, we just have a bunch of people who are awful disciples. They just got it, and then they just become this thing where I have it. And it kind of, honestly, it makes us feel better to feel this way. Because there's people in your life that puzzle you. You don't know what to do with them. Because they prayed a prayer at some point in time and they know the truth, but there's no fruit in their life and you don't know, but it makes me feel better to say that they're a Christian but they're not a disciple. They haven't made the decision. Everyone's a disciple. The Bible says that we ought to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not judging anybody whether you're in or not. I believe the fruits in my life are the assurance of the fact that I have a relationship with Jesus. I won't know who's in and not in until we get there. But don't fool yourself into thinking that there is a difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. It doesn't exist. The moment you're called to Christ, you're in. The moment you're called, you're in. So now I got the gospel. I grow in the gospel. That's the first two parts of discipleship. And then here's the last one. I give it away. I give it away. Timothy, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I love the relationship Paul has with Timothy. You know, Paul's this discipler of Timothy and his mentor. And, you know, it's Paul, man. It's Paul the lion-hearted. He is on fire. He's the man. You can't put him down. He's shipwrecked and stoned and beaten, and he'll stand up to anybody, and he had the words to say, and it was Paul, man. And somehow his protege is Timothy, who's timid and sickly, and I think if I was Timothy, I'd be like so intimidated by the fact that Paul is my mentor. And even in 1 Timothy 1, he says, "Hey, Timothy, just let me remind you that you do not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. It's Christ in you. It's the Spirit in you." Now listen, these things that you hear me teaching, I want you to take them and teach other people who will teach other people. You know what that's called? Disciple making. So here's the other problem. In our little distinctives that we've come up with to make us feel better about where we are or where we are not in our walk with Christ, we say there's Christians, then there's disciples, and then at some point in time, when you become smart enough, good enough, learned enough, whatever, then you get to come over here and be a disciple maker. A good luck finding a distinction in Scripture. Just do the same thing. A Christian is a disciple, and a disciple is a disciple maker. Go make disciples of all nations. I didn't see in Matthew 28 if there was any parameters around who's qualified to do that.
Well, only the people who've been in a structured program for 3 years and have learned 25 Bible verses may begin to go.
Frankly, some of the best disciple makers in my church are the people who just came to Christ because they're so passionate and so on fire, and they're surrounded by people who don't know Jesus. Go do it, baby. Go do it. But I don't have all the answers. Neither do I. Go do it. We'll figure it out together. Just go tell them what Jesus Christ did to you. Just go tell them what you know. Go out and do it. Disciple maker. You're helping people get the gospel and grow in the gospel and give it away. And that's what we do. And that ought to be the goal of our church. I got it. I'm growing in it. And I'm giving it away. The things that you know to be true about who God is. Those things that you know to be true. You got to get those and entrust them to faithful people. Who will entrust them to faithful people. That's how it works. In our world, in our small group ministry context, you know, as a pastor, I'm just pouring myself into people who will pour themselves into people, who will pour themselves into people, who will pour themselves into people. I go into, in our world, we got these things called flock leaders, and we pour ourselves into flock leaders who will pour themselves into small group leaders who will pour themselves into their apprentice and into their small group members, and we're giving it away, and we multiply groups all the time because we got more people in there, and you got it now. You go do it. You can't just sit here in our group forever and not think that you're going to serve because it's so comfortable here. We're going to deputize you, and you go out and be a small group leader too. No, I know you can do it. No, I know you're not smart enough. I get it. You're not articulate enough. I get it, but I believe that you got enough to go and do it. Take a step of faith. See what the Lord wouldn't do in meeting you there if you stepped out and said, I'm willing to serve. I think we got some people in here. I'm treading lightly right now, okay? I'm on thin ice. I think we got some people here who you really want to be in, but you're not all that interested in stepping up and leading and helping other people to get in. But that's how it works. This thing doesn't grow. This thing doesn't move if we're not all in together to say, I don't know. I'll just take whatever the Lord has entrusted to me and take a step of faith and give it away to other people. I think there's a bunch of people waiting to get into a small group. I don't know that I'm all 100% ready to lead yet, but if that's what the Lord wants me and that's where the church wants me, I'm in. Oh, Lord, don't cut the branch off underneath me because I'm scared. That's what it is. The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You got it? All right, let me illustrate it like this. Do you guys mind, you two, do you mind coming up here for a second? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah. Sorry, what's your name? Hi, Keith. How are you? What's your name?
Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. All right, so let's say that I got the gospel. All right, I got it. Christ revealed himself to me. I'm growing in it. And I'm going to give it to Keith. I'm entrusting this to Keith. You got it, Keith? I'm entrusting it to you. You got the gospel now. Keith's got it. Now, Keith, I want you to give it to another faithful person. Jesse, you got it? That's how, except for there's no lack of baton, see, because I still have it. Keith still has it. We can give it away to whoever you want to. Come on, keep giving them away. Hey, everybody can have it. Do you understand this? When you have the gospel, you just keep giving it away. Here, I'm going to give it. Now, you give that away to somebody. You give it away to somebody. These things that we know to be true, the things that you're learning in this church, the things that the Lord is teaching you through your small group, the things that the Lord is teaching you in church, don't sit on it and be some Bible fathead. We don't need a bunch of Bible fatheads walking around. We need people who will pour it out to other people. That's how the world will know. If we'll give it away and trust it to others. Thanks, Keith and Jesse. Thank you. That's it. Discipleship's not complicated. It's just not complicated. Do you know Christ? I hope you're growing in Christ. By God's grace, I hope you're not the same person you were last week. And hope you're giving away what you got, what he's teaching you. In fact, I want to close, if the worship team doesn't mind coming right now, I want to close with this song. And it's a song that we sing quite a bit. Maybe you in your church, you guys sing this quite a bit. I don't know, you know it or don't know it. But I think it's the perfect bit benediction to our service today in saying from my heart, here's what I love about worship. I'm often finding myself as I'm singing songs. God, would my heart match my mouth right now? The words that I'm singing, would that honestly be true of me? Would I know that about you? Would I desire that to be true for myself? So let's close with this song and then I'll pray. And as you sing, let's stand. And as we sing this, think, God, this is what I really, really want for myself. This is what I want for our church. This is what I want for my life. Grant this to us, God. Let's sing.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.